Good morning, everyone. I'm going to do my all in April this morning. I have been up since 5 a.m. and I hope y'all can't see my dirty kitchen behind me. I haven't done anything to it. We are going to have a really good May. So I got up this morning and did a lot of good journaling. I was sitting there thinking about, you know, like, who I want to be the rest of the year, who I want to be in the next 30 days. I just, you know, it's getting close to the end of the month, and I always love to kind of take a little minute to kind of think about, what are my goals? Am I still focused? Has anything changed? And then I always like to gut check myself on why things would change. There's a fine line between giving up on a goal because it, like, literally you realize it's not, like, something you really want to do, and giving up on a goal because you realize that it's hard and you're tired and that kind of stuff. So I don't give up on goals because it's hard and tired. I do very often will switch a goal if it is, you know, just like things have changed, or I don't like my reason for continuing with the goal. For an example is I really want to run that sub 35K. I just don't want to train for it right now. And it's not because the running got hard. It's just because other things came up to where I noticed that I needed more energy. It's not something that, like, I feel like I need to accomplish right now. It's and one of the other things that I do when I set aside a goal is I really make sure that I was still showing up for it. That sub 35K, I was doing all of my runs. I was just noticing that I had been running for over 6 weeks, no longer enjoying it, I was, you know, wanting to work on other things, prioritize my mornings differently, and I did have a couple aches and pains, but I think one thing that I noticed that's different about me than other people is that we're real quick to give up on our goals because the goal gets hard, or we're real quick to give up on our goals because we're talking to ourselves so terribly because we're not there yet, or because we're not doing it perfectly. And we think, you know, well, I must not want it bad enough, or we seek relief from our shitty thinking. And so we give up on a goal that we really want instead of giving up on our shitty thinking and doubling down on figuring out what is it going to take to do some of this stuff that I say that I really want, but I'm not doing. So that transitions me to what we're going to be doing in May to help you guys slay. So I just love things that rhyme. So I want us to all to be thinking about ways that we can slay in May. And so we have created a couple of things for you guys to really help you along, and you'll be getting your little hands on them this week. So the first thing is we wanted to do a group challenge. So this month has been all about All In April and me coming live most days and all of us talking about what we're in control of, and all that kind of stuff. We're going to switch things up for May, and we're going to just basically do bingo. So we have created a really fun version of Slay. It's not called Slay in May, but that's just something I started talking about. And I may ask Sadie, if she hasn't finalized the bingo card yet, to just put that in there. But it's got all kinds of stuff on there for you guys to participate in bingo. And then if you get bingo or you fill your card by the end of May, we'll give you guys all this information, but you will get the opportunity to have a digital prize. So we have given y'all special screen grabs when you have completed challenges in the past, gifts of me. There may be special little meditation or something, but we always love to give you guys a gift of a digital package when you complete things. So this will be really fun for you guys to do. We have loaded it full of all kinds of stuff that allows you to have a little fun, stay really focused on your goals, and meet some minimum things. So there's a mix of challenging you, and then there's a mix of just, you know, like keeping your mindset on healthy habits and stuff. So we created it, and it's it'll just be fun. I think it's just a fun way for all of us to do something together. And what I recommend is you guys talk about it and do all the things inside the Facebook group. You can even post it on your social if you want to. And then we have the self-sabotage course releasing this week. I finished all the recordings yesterday. It's a really good course. Guys, this course is really going to ask you to think about what you think about. And one of the things that I have watched you guys do is a lot of you self-sabotage because you're afraid of looking at your thoughts. So I made sure to not only explain the concept of self-sabotage, but help you find the thoughts around food and stuff that you're having. And you're not, like, I think what you're going to find is a lot of relief this month, that things aren't nearly as broken as you think they are. That it's really, you just have some sentences and stories around your ability, around your body, around food, around your environment and stuff that are tripping you up. You're not going to spend this month crying in a corner, feeling all the feelings, and uncovering earth-shattering news. You're literally going to find stupid-ass thoughts that we all have that we've collected over the years that we don't pay attention to. We just think that they're true. Like, well, I love food. I don't know why I keep overeating. If the only story you ever tell yourself is that the reason why you're overweight is because you love food so much, guess what? You're going to figure out a way to love food all the time, despite what your dreams and goals are. So self-sabotage is recorded. Everybody say, hello, it's Spoonie. It's Spoonie. It's Spoonie Jones. All right. So I just had to give him his sweet Spoonie love this morning. This is Chris's life. Chris is one of the most serious people ever. And Logan and I are just complete asshats half the time. We're always acting silly. Oh, every night I roll over and I go, am I your best friend? He always looks at me and he's like, oh my God, you ask me every night. So we're going to do self-sabotage, and I'm going to make sure that you understand how it works in your brain, how it got started. A lot of you just insist that you gotta know why it's here. You want all the why behind it. Okay, well, I'm giving it to you this month. You're gonna know why it's happening. You're gonna know where it started. You're gonna get relief from all of that. And then you're going to have to get to, you're going to have no more excuses. You're not going to be able to sit around and say, I don't know how this started. I don't know why I keep doing this. You will know at the end of the month all the whys. We will have removed all of that mystery and confusion and judgment and stuff. So the course is really good because it's very focused. I'm going to teach you about your brain. I'm going to teach you about the things you think. And then we're going to take you through worksheets that make the basically, the figuring out the why and the sentences that you have and the journaling part, very easy. I have taken you through all of it. And then I give you prompts to ask. The only thing that you're going to need to do is, if you don't have a planner, you need to get one. Or you need to be using a digital, whatever version you do. This month, you are going to need to, for 30 days, you have to plan each day. I didn't say follow the plan. But you're going to need to plan, and you're going to need to pay attention to your hunger scale and your overeats this month so that we can find the thoughts causing them for you to not follow a plan, the thoughts for you to not want to plan, all of that stuff. The only way to end self-sabotage is to locate the series of thoughts. And the best way to do that is to trigger your self-sabotage thinking all month long, and your self-sabotaging behaviors. The best way to get that done is to make plans every single day. If you use your planner and you're paying attention to your hunger scale, what it's going to do is it's going to bring up all the things that aren't working right. That's the self-sabotage. So rather than just noticing that you do it and judging yourself and whining about it, this month what we need to do is we need to bring it all to the surface really fast, figure out all the things that are going on around it. Then as you do the worksheets, it will help you start thinking about how you can do things differently. Start thinking about how you can think differently, how to rewire things and stuff. So, all right, Kim, self-sabotage is not a kryptonite. That is not it. Like, you can't even think that. You just got to think. This month, guess what I'm going to be doing? I'm going to be learning all about self-sabotage. This is going to be amazing. I get to, like, finally figure this out. No one's really taught me before. How about we think like that rather than, oh, my God, that's my kryptonite? You're already setting yourself up for some low-level, like, see, this is going to be really hard. I mean, it's kryptonite. It, you know, that's what, like, kills Superman. Guys, you're not going to finish the month out doing all the things you need to do if your thoughts around next month are crap. So make sure, this is what I want you all thinking. Next month, I finally get to learn something that has eluded me all my life. That's what I want you guys thinking about, okay? So thank you for saying that, Kim, because that allows me to, like, talk to everybody about setting their brain up for next month. So we're going to really focus on next month. What is it that thinking and those beliefs and stuff that have been eluding me for a long time that no one's ever showed me that I'm going to be able to find next month? What is it, like, I'm going to be able to start getting, like, okay, now I know. And one of the nice things about when I was doing all of my research on the self-sabotage and stuff that I learned is that once you really start identifying these stories, and what I did was I researched self-sabotage in itself, and then I broke it down into, okay, how does this, like, how do we apply this just to weight loss? Like, let's just do this about weight loss. It was really interesting about just, like, once you really unwind those stories and you start seeing them and stuff, it really gives you some relief, like explaining, like, oh, this is why in this moment I don't want to do something, or this is why in this moment it's like hard for me to pull the trigger. And then I give you some stuff later in the program where it's like, how do we set it up to where it will be, you'll be very interested in doing your new behaviors. You will not be dreading them as much as you will be setting yourself up for. I won't say you will always want to, but you will set yourself up to be able to push through and override your don't want to a lot easier than what you've been able to do in the past. So it's really good stuff, and I hope you guys enjoy it. We are also, like, not only am I giving you, I think there's 5 videos. They're not super long, so they're somewhere between, I would say, 15 to 30 minutes. I don't even know if one of them's 30 minutes, but they're about that long. I tried to keep them nice and short so that you could listen to one a week and get a lot out of it, like do the worksheets for that week, and then you could come back the next week and do, and as you're planning and stuff. We are also going to have every Thursday throughout the month of May at 5 p.m. will be a call with me on us processing the worksheets of that course. So part of this course is you listening to content, and then the other part is going to be some live interaction on Thursday nights. If you can't come to those calls, it's not a big deal. What we're going to do is take those replays and we will stick them inside the course so that, you know, you can listen to the video, and then the following week if you want, on before you listen to the next one, you can listen to the worksheet call that it goes to it, so you can see me coach and answer questions around those worksheets and stuff. So it's going to be a good month. And then, so we're doing self-sabotage and we are doing the May Bingo Challenge. And those are the two big things we're going to focus on to help you stay in control of your mind. I want to shift out of just being in April where we are just basically, all right, what can we control today and stuff? I want us to start shifting in May more to, you know, how do we just start solving our problems? How do we just kind of get, like, I want us to get back to normal, and that means not so much like normal life outside of us, but get back to the normalcy of, okay, I've had my time to where I need to rebalance and stuff. Now I really need to just get back to mental work, because that's just what we do. The newness of all this has worn off. It's like now we need to stop putting everything on hold and just like, okay, I think I can do life, like my emotional life, and I can do my dreams and my goals while all this other stuff sorts itself out. And that's kind of what we have to get to. Is it common for people to self-sabotage as they get close to new numbers with their weight? Yeah, it just depends on whatever story you have around that new weight. Seems like every time I'm close to breaking through to a new number, I end up going up a few pounds or stalling. I'm down 47 pounds so far, and I've noticed this pattern a few times. I have about 40 pounds to go. Yeah, it's super simple. What story am I telling myself about this right now? Like, if the first thing to do is like, so why am I stalling? That's always going to be like, you just have to take 100% responsibility rather than thinking it's, you know, there must be some self-sabotage and stuff. Probably is, but it's starting with the, like, self-sabotage is an action. Like, I do certain things because I believe this. When you hit a stall, what is your story around it? That's what you'll learn next month. It's like, does it, like, it's going to take, you know, me really knuckling down. This is when the shit gets real. If you have a story around every time you hit a certain point that, you know, you have to work harder, you have to do all these things, you are not going to be wanting to do some of the basics. And you have to just take a look at what you're doing right now and say, like, am I in check with my basics, or am I talking myself out of stuff? So you will learn all about that next month. Let's see. Heather, I need the mental stuff again. Positive mental stuff, not the effort mental stuff. Yeah. So, like, listen, like, all right. So, everybody needs to know this. Before you can take the self-sabotage bonus course, you have to have finished phase one and two of No BS. It will not make sense, and it will not be easy if you don't. And I say it in the very beginning of the self-sabotage course, in the very first introduction video, I say, if it's been a minute since you've reviewed phase one and two of No BS, you need to stop now, and you need to go back, and you need to listen. The bonus courses build on the back of No BS. No BS is what we're always doing. Always. So if you've been fucking around and you ain't been listening to No BS in a long time, or you've like listened to phase two one time and heard about the journaling model and you immediately were like, oh, I'm not a journaler. I don't do that kind of stuff. I'm not a writer. That model, man, it's confusing. And you listen to it one fucking time. And then, like, I just want you to ask yourself, am I willing to write? And am I willing to open my mind up that I can do a mental outline? That's all the model is a mental outline. Am I open to the idea that I can listen to a lesson and this month just do models even if I think they're confusing? Because if you're not, then you need to be open up to the idea, I'd like to just keep fucking around and be frustrated and, you know, fuck it, eat. And, you know, all these self-sabotaging behaviors I think I have and stuff. I think I just want to keep them like a soft little whoobie, just wrapped up in them all the time. That's the price you pay for not educating yourself on the regular. If you're not willing to write about what you think about, the price you pay is you get to keep your old shitty thinking. If you don't like that thinking, you got to work on your thinking, not just sit around and wish it would all go away. That doesn't happen. Hang on. Should I finish No BS or work on the upcoming courses for May? Louise, like, I would, if I was you, you just have to decide. I would, like, to me, you can do both at the same time, but not if you overwhelm easy. Like, I do lots of things at the same time all the time. It's like, you know, I'm reading three different books at the same time and I'm doing just fine. I, you know, taking this course and taking this course, and I do just fine. I just don't think there's anything wrong with education. But if you are someone who, like, literally, you know, your brain doesn't work well that way and that you overwhelm easy, you need to meet your brain where it's at. So I would finish No BS. I'd at least get through phase three. You could wait on phase four and you could do phase three, then move to self-sabotage. But we got a whole week before, I mean, there's like 5 days before it's coming out. If you want to listen to the videos of No BS, guess what? You could probably knock them bad boys out before we even get started. But I recommend everybody this week, listen to phase one and two if it's been a minute. At least phases one and two. Phase three is all about overeating, and self-sabotage is going to be a whole different take on it, but it's going to be the why behind we're overeating. It's a little bit like I do go over brain science again, so you get to hear it twice in phase three. I don't like to give you guys too much, like we repeat the same things a lot, but we repeat them in new ways. And we re-synthesize the material in different ways with different worksheets so that you're always working on the same stuff. So that eventually things start clicking. But it's up to you, Louisa. You just decide where you're at in OBS. I would at least be through phases one and two. If you really want to do the phase three before we get started, just listen to the phase three stuff and do the worksheets this week. Make some time to get it done. You'll be ready to go. I think we'll probably release everything, the videos on Thursday or Friday of this week. I think Friday is May 1st. So we will release the course out. It'll be this week. It'll come live. But you only have to listen to one video a week if you want to. You can space it out throughout the month. You guys don't have to feel like you need to listen to all the stuff on day one to be able to keep up through the month. Space it out. Drip it out for yourself. I was good until college child came home. You're like, all right, can we just not blame our children for our weight loss, our weight gains, y'all? Like, I really want y'all to think about this. We're not going to do this in self-sabotage. This is one of the things that I teach in there is all about blame. At some point, we have to decide our children and the people we love most in the world aren't responsible for our mouth. Like, there's like, I was really good until my kid came home. Listen to what your brain thinks. Your brain is now connecting. Oh, I need a perfect scenario. I need my child not to be here. You're setting a story up in your head that when things aren't the way you want it, that means you overeat. Rather than, I noticed when my kid came home, I had these thoughts about food that were very different than when my child wasn't here. That's why you ate. Your mindset shifted when your child came home. Your mindset shifted around food when your child came home. Guys, I'm going to tell you right now, like we have had a house like full of food, all the things here. I have not gained any weight. It is not because Corinne is so smart or Corinne is some unicorn or something. Do you know what it is? Corinne has worked on her urges like a boss for a month. Corinne has noticed her thoughts all month long. Corinne journals each day about food. Corinne writes about what's tempting and why her urges are up. That's why Corinne does that. It isn't because I'm a unicorn. It's because I do all that horse shit I tell you guys to do. Corinne makes a plan every day. Some days are more realistic than others. Corinne pays attention to her urges. Corinne does a discovery worksheet when she eats off plan. Like, I do all of that stuff. And you know what? A lot of times I don't want to be doing it. I don't blame Chris and I don't blame Logan. When I catch myself wanting to do that, I remind myself, oh, wait, it's really not their fault. Here's what's happening. I'm wanting food right now. Because I keep thinking what? I keep thinking it tastes so good instead of I keep thinking it's not on my plan. Like a lot of times you guys are so throwed like in the throes of just your thoughts. Like you're not even observing them. You're just like, oh, I just want it. And that's so bad. If I just didn't want food, blah, blah, blah. Like that's the conversation that sucks for you. And I write about that stuff rather than just sitting there, I just don't know why it's so hard for me. Like, you know why it's so hard for you. If you wrote down the conversation you have when you have urges and you see food, you would really understand why it's so hard for you. If the best that you've got when you look at a full pantry is this is tempting, this is hard, and if my kid wasn't here, it'd be easier. That's why it's hard. Not because there's food in there. Because the way you describe the pantry to yourself is, the way you describe pandemic life, all of you, the way you're describing the pandemic life in relation to losing weight, I guarantee you everybody that's gained weight is because you're telling this story. I just got to get through this stuff. I mean, it's, you know, this is no time to be losing weight or it, you know, I was doing really good until all this hit. And then, you know, it's so stressful right now. You've gone back to your normal thinking that allows you to eat. You haven't watched your thinking around all of it so that you can identify what's setting you up to want to eat. And sometimes what you guys do is like, you know, when things change, you know, like when the boys are here all the time and we can't get the foods we normally eat and stuff, y'all just look at it like, well, this is a big fucking problem. Yeah. You have to at some point decide this isn't a big fucking problem and start going to, what am I going to do about this? A lot of you have spent 30 to 45 days sitting around observing that this is a problem. It's so hard right now. I mean, I can't even get the stuff I like to eat. Can't go nowhere. I got a house full of people. People I don't even like are in my house now. Like, y'all are just like describing it all the time to yourselves. Do you notice how that description doesn't tell you jack shit about solving your problem? But like, okay, I get I don't like any of this. Now what? If you ain't even want to work on liking it, how about just a now what? So if we're all going to be here together, now what? If I'm not going to gain weight through this, what am I going to have to do? If I'm not going to gain weight through this, what are some of the stuff, what's some of the things I need to start telling myself every day? How am I going to set myself up for success? What's going to be the new way right now? If I can learn the old way, I for sure can learn the new way. Like, y'all got to start observing that side of the story, and you will learn a lot about that next month. Gail, if you don't want to have bread in the house, stop baking bread for your family. Let me ask you this. Was baking bread for them worth 12 pounds? Did they want bread that bad? Or was this keeps me busy. This makes me feel like I'm taking care of them. Like, I've got all these thoughts around this bread while I'm eating it. Just be honest with yourself. Do we need to have this right now? If I want to feel like I'm taking care of my family, how can I get it done without a loaf of bread? Whatever's going on for you around that bread, you just need to decide. If I'm going to continue to make bread, I'm not eating it, and here's why. I do know I'm going to set it up for it to be harder on myself by baking bread because I've been eating on it for 12 pounds worth for the last month. But you've got to decide. Like, guys, we all have to make these decisions. I want to see what this comment was. Baking bread was not worth it. Let's see. There was somebody else. Loving your poof. Oh, thank you. That's because, like, I have to pull my hair back. Look at them. Look at them good-looking roots. They're going away today, though. I don't know if I told you guys, but my hairstylist, she's a single mom, 18-month-old, y'all, and broke as the... I actually was having this conversation with my mother. I called her on Saturday. We were talking about how when we were kids, you know, my mom basically made minimum wage most of my life. And she worked in industry, restaurant industry, hotel. She worked in industry she would have gotten laid off. And we would have starved. We had no money. We lived literally week to week. And most weeks we didn't have money. Like, it was always a balancing act of, I remember, you know, this was back when bill collectors called all the time. I remember having to be the one to answer the phone because they wouldn't harass a kid, you know, and like, so I was the one that always answered the phone. And so, like, just, I don't know. I don't know what my mom, we were just talking about. We're just glad that, you know, this didn't happen when we were kids. It probably would have put us on the street or something. I mean, we were this close to being on the street very often. So it wouldn't have taken much to push that envelope. But so anyway, my hairstylist, she's a single mother. And I've been going to her for years. And she's coming over today to, while I bend my head over that sink and get it all done again. But I just think about like her and trying to survive and just how hard it is on her. And it just, anyway, it breaks my heart because I feel for the single moms. I mean, I feel for everyone. Y'all don't get me wrong, but my personal experience is there. And I just think we should all be doing what we can, you know, for those people. How do you figure out your thoughts? Keep writing? Yeah, you just write. I guarantee you, if you write every single day in that planner, you will figure out some thoughts. This month in self-sabotage, I'm going to give you all the journal prompts you're going to need to figure out some thoughts. But all of you don't have to figure them out. If you write, you're writing your thoughts down. I want you to think, when you're writing, that's just your thoughts. Y'all are not writing the facts of life. I promise you. Here's how I know you're not writing the facts of life. This morning, mine had two facts in it, and I had two pages worth. That's how I know you ain't writing the facts of life. And I'm a skilled person when it comes to thought work. And mine are just, it's just like thought, 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 thought. And you just look at it, and you're like, all right, when I think this sentence, how do I feel? Good or bad? If you feel bad, decide, is this a sentence I want to keep thinking, or do I need to, is there something else I could think? That's what the model does for you. But you've got to be willing to write. And if you sit there and you say, well, I don't know what to write, that's a thought. Like, you need to write that down. I don't know what to write. I think all this is really hard. I've never been taught this, blah, blah, blah. You'll have a collection of your thoughts around writing. And guess what? Every one of them should be modeled because they, guess what they do? Confuse you. Stop you from doing journaling. Stop you from figuring out your thoughts about food. If you think writing about your thoughts is hard, you'll never write about why you overate. You'll just be like, well, I wouldn't even know what to write. I don't know. You find figuring out your hunger scale confusing. This is what's funny. Y'all always say, I don't know what to write. And then y'all will get in the Facebook group and you will clearly bitch about something. Like if I said, tell me about like what you're most afraid of, or tell me about like the shittiest story of your past, or tell me who pissed you off at some point in your life that you still remember. Every one of you will be able to tell me that stuff. No problem. Let me just, you know, spend 20 minutes in the Facebook making sure everybody knows my story. Or if I said, girl, call me up. Let's talk about how hard dieting is. I'm just struggling right now. Don't you feel bad right now? It's so stressful. Y'all would be able to call and we'd have a kumbaya and bitch, 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 bitch. That's your thoughts. Nobody has a problem doing that. Everybody has a problem doing it when they have to do it with a pen and a piece of paper. And it's usually because of some belief that you've got something crazy going on in there, or you've got some belief that it's really difficult for you, or if I uncover this, what does that mean about me? Guys, drop all that thinking. There's nothing that earth-shattering. Ain't none of you, like, we're not going to read something and be like, you're the one. Go to therapy right now. ASAP. No. Everybody just has things they think. Somebody actually lost during quarantine. Thank you. Let's see. I have a hard time feeling like I deserve to have bad thoughts when my circumstances are not good And they are my, I'm having a hard time feeling like I deserve to have bad thoughts. I don't understand that. When my circumstances are not good and they are my fault. You don't deserve to have bad thoughts. Nobody deserves to have bad thoughts. I don't understand that. Or I'm not really sure what you're asking, Jody, but here's what I will say. Circumstances are never your fault. Circumstances happen and you have a thought that these are my fault. You need to question. The reason why I think it's my fault is because of this. And another reason why I think it's my thought is or my fault is because of this. Like, list out all those things and then look at, like, it will be like, I should have done better. That's a thought that never helps you. I am pretty sure that if any of us wanted to go through our life and look at a situation, like let's say when my mom and I didn't speak for a year, I could sit around and think I should have done better. No. You know why? It's over. Thinking, going back and regretting and thinking I should have done things differently doesn't change it. So that's why we know that that's a busted thought. It gins up regret. Regret doesn't fix anything. It's like, this is how I showed up. And at the time, that's what happened. But today, going forward, here's the thought you want to have. Rather than dwelling on, I should have done better, you go to, you know what? Today, here's what I am in control of. Today, every time I want to regret, here are the things that I can do to make life better today. Here are the things that I can do to make my life like more peaceful today. I choose to learn from that experience versus I regret how I showed up versus I should have done better. I choose to learn from this, and this is what I will do going forward and why that's important to me. But do you notice how, like, we're not changing the past? We're like, no matter how you do it versus I do it, no one's changing the past. It's just one line of thinking notices when you're regretting and puts you into a direction of moving forward. One line of thinking keeps you very focused on the past and doing nothing about it. I'm struggling with keeping a balance with planning and exercise. The past month, I love exercising twice per day, but not writing a plan. Why can't I keep a balance between both? I don't think you need to balance anything. Your mindset is you need to balance. Here's where your mindset needs to be. If I'm going to exercise twice a day, I don't get to do the second one until I've journaled. Let me ask you this, Karen. I know you love to exercise twice a day. But what would planning do for you? You need to tie some purpose to that planning. Like, planning every single day will change me way more than exercising twice a day ever will because it will do these things for me. You need to give some airtime to the validity of the planning. You need to make it important and stuff. And then you need to set a boundary with yourself. Look, if planning's truly important to me, then guess what? There will be no second exercise if we haven't planned. We just don't get to do either. That's like, you know, there's lots of things I love doing. And there's lots of those things that I love doing that I don't do until I've done the shit that I know I need to do. And I tell myself, like, you get to do this, and the price to get there is finishing your work today. Like, I love me some Netflix at night. Guess what? The currency of Netflix at night is finishing up the shit on my plan for the day. Not, well, I love Netflix. Too bad I didn't get that work done today. Guess what? If I don't get my work done today, I don't get that Netflix either. It incents me to get shit done during the day. It also reminds me, like, when I'm working, work faster. Stop diddling. Don't fuck around. Mary, I hear you. My kids were 3, 5, and 7 when I divorced their dad. Never had them. I've worked hard all my life. I'm now 65 and raised and work full time while taking college classes and continued until I had my master's by 45. Finally, it is my time. Oh, that's awesome. What tips do you have to improve digestion? A probiotic. I don't have a lot of tips for that. What I would highly recommend you do is go to the special diets subgroup, and they will give you a bajillion tips. That group over there, they know all things digestion. I just basically, I eat healthy. I get a salad in every day because it keeps my poop going strong. I don't eat a lot of junk. I try not to eat. Like for me, I know that if I have calls at night and stuff, if I eat past about 7:30, I'm not going to sleep well. So I try not to eat, you know, later in the evening, just to, not for fat loss, y'all, but just so that my sleep's not jacked up. You know, if you eat late at night, you're compromising your sleep quality. One of the things I have learned from wearing my Oura ring, which tracks my sleep at night, is that whenever I've ate late, my resting heart rate takes forever to go down at night because my body's having to burn that food up. So it's trying to work while I'm trying to sleep. And I've also just watched my mom all these years eat right before bed and, you know, go and lay down. And she's got Barrett's esophagus now from, you know, that food coming back up in her stuff. We have so much cancer in my family for the stomach and stuff. I do not want it. And it is really important to me to make sure that I'm not doing and eating things that could offset all that. But, I take a probiotic every day. I actually take a pre and probiotic. I forget the name of the place. It may be in my faves store. I'm not sure. It's whatever Chris orders me. And then just monitoring things. And if something doesn't settle well, I just don't eat it anymore. Like, that's why I drink low acid coffee, because anything that, if I'm drinking any other coffee, it tears my stomach up. So just basically a lot of paying attention. How do you apologize? My words hurt my daughter-in-law. I know, not my fault, but not my intention to hurt her. I would just say it was not my intention to hurt you. I understand, like your words did hurt her. In her mind, she hears your words, she has a thought, she feels hurt. That's just how it's working, though. It's not like you intentionally did it, and it's not like what you said was the direct cause of the hurt, but for you realizing her feelings are hurt because of the way she's thinking about what I said. And for that, I can have understanding and compassion. I didn't mean to hurt her, but her brain is internalizing it as hurtful. And so, like, when you drop into her space, you just apologize. Like, if you really want to apologize, you won't care if she's deciding to be hurt over it, whether you intended it or not. You'll be more in the space of, I just love her, and I want to be able to offer her new words that she could love. The last words I offered, she interpreted as hurtful. And so if, like I just always think, a lot of times I feel very right in what I say. But when somebody else is hurting, I just decide I must have been wrong. I was either wrong in my tone, wrong in the timing, or they weren't ready to hear it. Whatever it is. And I just decide I was wrong. Because at the end of the day, I want the people around me to feel as much love as they can. And if I can offer them words to get there, I'm very willing to do that. More so than I'm determined to be right or justified. I mean, I just think it's like the true, like when you think about the true mark of, do you really love someone? If you really love someone or you really care for someone, you don't need to be right. Like, they don't need to know you're right. If you really feel like you were right, okay. You got all you need. Your brain is convinced. Why do you need everybody else's brain to be convinced too? That's your that's you saying, hey, I need you to acknowledge that I'm right so I can feel justified, so I get to feel better. It's like, what if you just feel justified and better because you know your own truth and you don't need external validation to get there? Like, that's the real work of a human. But so many of us focus more on making sure the other humans know we're right, rather than being like, huh, the elevated version of me doesn't need that validation anymore, because they get it from themselves all the time. You're always working on your own validation. So I just always assume with other people, like, what can I do to make it super easy for them to feel good right now? I don't need to be right about this. If it means apologizing, when I think my opinion was right, I just apologize because they disagree. It's like, yeah, I see that you're hurt. All right, guys. Terry says, my thoughts, my mouth, my actions. That's all of my circumstances. All right, I'm going to get out of here because I got to go work out and our treadmill's broken. So we can't get a belt right now. So it's Peloton, or it's actually beautiful outside. I'm thinking about slapping me some pants on and going out running. Going to figure it out. You know me, I don't like the cold weather. That's why I'm sitting here with my coffee this morning. Oh, something else that's changing next month. The Saturday Q&A on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m., it's going to be walking or coffeeing with Corinne. So rather than having a big formal Q&A where I'm doing all the things, we're just going to kind of hang out and do some of these next month. You will be able to ask questions and stuff, but we're going to take it down a notch on the formality of it so that I can come to you more like this and a little bit more relaxed, and just kind of give you some sneak peeks too and just kind of talk about stuff. So I want the Peloton treadmill, but they are on hold. They have sold out throughout the pandemic. I was like, fuck, we should have ordered that thing, but it'll all work out on its own. So I'm figuring it out. But anyway, I will be doing something today. I will talk to you guys later. Bye, y'all.